1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5!
Okay, 90.1 FM, three songs. I only hope to play one, but three snuck in there somehow. That's from the band Stark Raving Mad. We heard Life or Death, Problem, and starting the thing off, Happy People. Let me go back to tell you what we heard before that, and then we'll start talking with the band. 7 Seconds started the set off with Fight Your Own Fight. That's from their second EP, Committed for Life. They have a new one out, and should be playing that real soon. Yellow after that with IT Splash. Arroganta Agitator with Arbeit Macht Frei, and Starvation Army gave us two songs from the New Hope Records compilation with Something's Wrong and Fun. And I think Fun is probably the shortest song, punk song that I know of. If anybody can find something shorter, give us a call. And back again to Stark Raving Mad with Happy People, Problem, Life or Death. With us in the studios, in the corner, Sponge. Sam is over in the chair. All the way in the back is Bob, and hiding outside the studio
Tim.
Tim today. You're Tim today, okay. And all the way in the outside the studio, doesn't want to even be associated with these guys, is the drummer Steve. And Steve, why are you hiding back there?
Get in here.
Join the band. Well, who's going to start off talking? I guess because the mic's near Sponge, will you know, bring you in first. How's your mom doing?
My mom, she's doing great.
She surprised to see you when she came up?
Yeah, she came up. We just got out of the studio doing this mix on this tape. It should be edited soon and made into an EP.
How are you going to have that printed up? Am I talking to the right person here? Does he know?
We're not too sure where we're going to get it printed yet. We're still looking around. Right.
Why don't we get a brief history of the band? Three of you are from Pissed
Youth? Well, three of us are from Pissed Youth. Yeah, we came up here last summer. Uh-huh. And our guitarist pulled a Fred and just appeared on us and went home. So we're finally pulling it back together, you know. Our bass player switched to guitar, and we met a person here, Bob.
Tim.
Bob Tim. And he's joined us, and he's playing bass.
And you're practicing every night where?
In Brooklyn.
Your apartment, in fact.
The asylum, yeah.
I moved out.
Yeah, he can't handle us. No. Or Justin anymore.
I had to go to
anymore.
Bellevue.
Yeah. All right, so moved up from Texas. How does the Texas scene different from New York? Are you satisfied with the New York scene?
No.
It's ignorant.
Yeah, well, that's in the city, you know, the skins and everything. They're like nationalists. And
it's a big city. There's all different types of people, you know?
The worst part about it, is that the skins say that they're anti-political. And that's just a bunch of crap, because they're American. They're into American politics, and and they're into supporting Ronnie and everything like that. And so whenever they come out with saying, oh, politics and music shouldn't mix, which they say a lot, you know, and they get down on bands like MDC and stuff, they're full of it.
What's it like, though,
but there's some other, there's good bands in New York, and some people, Bag People and Virus, it seems like. Pretty cool.
Health Hen, stuff
Health
like that.
Health Hen, yeah.
What's the scene like in Texas, though? How is it different from New York? Is it a lot more friendlier, or is it...
The people are...
Hold it. Stop. Steve, come in here.
I don't know anything.
It's more closely knit, yeah.
We only have one mic to share between four people, so...
Well, it's a smaller scene. It's a lot more oppressed in Texas. The kids are just seem to be a lot more close. You know, they're more into fighting the racism, narrow minds. Here, they just... totally apathetic. They don't care. They say that here it's just so much harder to make it, which it isn't. That that's all that matters, just making it and partying.
It's a fad. They're into moshing.
Mosh.
We just don't agree with it.
Mishmosh.
Yeah, we got something to say.
They're a bunch of posers.
Okay, why don't you tell us what you have to say? I'm trying to think. There's some problems with DRI, and I forgot the song.
CC,
capitalist, you know what?
Dirtbag.
Do you want to talk about that, or?
Well, it's a rather long story. They ended up, like, stealing our bass player in Frisco.
After we supported them and helped put their first record out, and we just...
it's just a really long, drawn-out story.
So, I had something...
I think the song tells it all. Yeah.
Okay, that's probably the next one we're going to play in just a few minutes. Why don't we go on more? Steve has a big vengeance against Coke. A cola.
It's boycott Coca-Cola.
Boycott
it's
Coca-Cola.
One of the
I should have just stopped short on
America,
that.
You know?
Sorry for stopping short on that. I'm scared.
No, it's just that I read the thing in NBC's 7-inch record that goes into what they call the multi-death corporations, who are American companies over in El Salvador. And they basically. Sort of in charge of the war that's going on there, the death squads. They go into villages and slaughter people so that they can build their factories. And
we're lazy slobs, so we can drink Coca-Cola and just let people go out and kill for a Coke.
Okay.
For Coca-Cola.
Life or death.
What's in the future? What are you guys? Are you guys gonna go on tour soon, or are you working on the? You want to get the record out first,
yeah,
or what's happening?
First things first, we'll get the record out and get it around a little bit.
Is this the final mix we have here, or
yeah, it just has to
just have to be
have it edited,
rearranged,
and then pressed once we get the money for that.
Once we decide where to press it, etc.
Okay, and then you're gonna go on tour.
Yeah, try to get it distributed a little bit and then hit the road
for a little while. We're tired of working.
Terrible.
I mean, it costs a lot of money to do this, and we're doing everything ourselves. And it's just, you know, we ain't afraid to work for what we want. And
no, you're not. You're not doing it yourself. I bought you a burrito today.
Well, that's beside the point. We're all paid
up.
It's just, we're not the, you know, we're not workaholics or nothing, but when we want something, we go out and work for it, you know.
All right, these guys do work for it, so they're practicing every night in Brooklyn. In fact, if you go down to their area of Brooklyn, that's all you hear.
You can hear us.
You can hear them.
4-block radius.
Away,
that's how I find the apartment, is I just open the car window.
Just drive across the Williamsburg Bridge, you'll hear us.
Don't fall in the water.
All right, let's listen to Capitalist Content, and we'll come right back to talk with Stock Raising Mad here at 90.1 FM.
Kurt and Eric.
I just got a letter from Uncle Sam. It says, take out of the can! What's wrong with you? 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 What's wrong with you?
your death. A brainwashed infant, the corn might. It's too bad I pressed that after playing at night. We can't let you continue your crime. Our system is argument, our system right. Rape, I think you're stuck. I put mine on the cabin to survive against it.
FM WUSB in Stony Brook. We fit that in on time. And with me in the studios is Stark Raving Mad, Sponge, Sam, Steve, and Bob, or Tim. Sorry, Tim. Well, last time I talked to him, you were Ray or something like that. But
that was yesterday.
I didn't talk to you yesterday. I talked to you about 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
you're using your names over again.
It's
getting repetitive.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk about Rapist, because I love the vocals on that. Sponge wrote it. Sponge wrote all the songs.
Bob.
No, you wrote it. Wait.
Tim wrote those songs.
Tim did.
You wrote the lyrics?
He was Bob when he wrote it.
Really?
Yeah, I was Bob when I wrote it, though. That is true.
I thought Sponge wrote all the songs.
No. He has
most
his moments, you know.
Very few, though.
Not too often.
He's pretty lazy.
I am very lazy. Say, Sponge write a song, yeah, he'll come up with the
song.
We
put a carrot in front of his mouth, and that helps a lot.
Okay, Tim, why don't you tell us about Rapist then?
What? Go ahead. What are you pointing at?
I just wrote the music.
He's pointing at the music.
Okay. Rapist.
Rapist is a combination
of two things. And one is the inability to make sense out of a lot of the things that we perceive in our environment. And
whoa.
The rapist is, you know, part of that environment that confuses you. But in society, you see
Ronnie baby is a rapist.
You see,
and
like,
so
support
is every other
for the, you see
oppressionary
support for
government.
The rapist. You see, you know, chauvinism in society, and it's like you see a lot of things that are conducive to that, and you don't understand why all of this is the way it is. If rape is supposed to be a real bad thing, yet we support a lot of things that
we don't support,
that
I don't
influence that situation, you know, but we don't deal with that stuff either. It's just media and blah blah blah.
Media and blah blah.
I saw Sam
blah blah blah.
Sam was shaking his head. You have any problems with that?
Well, My interpretation
is different every time, though, because I'm still
the way I interpreted
interpret.
The song was, you know, I feel a lot of society is being raped by the government, you know, all over the world. You know, one of the
is it just the government or people
should,
who can get control of power?
People who get control of power all the way around. You're right there.
They are raping people.
But that's what the song's about, and then the part that he was talking about is the faster parts is where, you know, what are we going to do about it, you know?
Okay, how about FTA? Anybody want to tell me what that stands for?
FTA.
Steve, are you alive?
Almost.
I don't know. Usually when we're talking and stuff like that, you're the one with the big mouth all the time, and it seems you come up here and you're very quiet.
I'm a nervous guy.
he likes to play.
Want to know what it stands for?
Yeah.
Fuck the Army.
That's an old phrase. I was in the Army once, a long time ago, and that was for all the people that were sandbagged or whatever, or lied to by their recruiters to get in the Army and then couldn't get out, had to spend 2 or 3 years out of their life. Usually when they're 17, 18 years old, you know, it's the best years of their life, and once you sign on the line, there's no way you can get out. It's a little easier now, but that was the common phrase when I was in, you know, the mid-70s, and it was all volunteer army, of course, you know, nobody had to go, but, you know,
ignorance.
That's true.
They made it too attractive.
They
suckered
did.
You did.
And
they still do.
I don't know, it's just
a lot of the things that they did is just, you wouldn't believe, you know? It never leaks out, but, so we just wrote this little tune-a-rooney here to let everybody know how we feel.
Yeah, it's kind of like a story, you know, a guy that gets drafted and, you know, his first impressions of what's going to happen to him. Yeah.
This is partially true, like the first part, you know. Sponge here, he got a little message from his mother. He got a letter himself, so it is very true. You know, we don't write about nothing that's just for the hell of it, you know.
Okay, the big question is, you have a lot to say. Are you reaching the right audience? The punk audience. Do you think most of them know already what's going on? And
right. Well, we'd like to reach further, also.
So far, you know, we're going. Yeah.
We're hoping to get the record out.
Basically,
to a lot of different audiences. You know,
we're getting various responses from the punk audience. A lot of people
here in the city
think that we're too political. That we're just preaching. We're not preaching to nobody. We're just telling you stand up, listen to what we say, and form your own opinion. You know. We're not going to put nothing over on you. We're not telling you a bunch of stories, you know. We're just telling you what's going on. And if you want to,
as we interpret it.
Just try to make people aware of what's going on, you know, so they can think for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Because most people are just, you know, like, oh, well, I don't care what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's not the attitude to have, you know. Because when it happens, they're going to say, oh, why did this happen?
And what Duran Duran's doing. And they're not even interested in, you know, politics and what's happening. And
what's going on,
we don't like love songs. There's too many love songs.
Love sucks.
What's happening all around the world, you know, with like the peacekeeping forces and everything. They're not interested, you know.
But do you think playing punk music reaches the wider audience that you want to get? Does it seem to alienate you?
I feel the same might grow, you know. I think other people see things from it, you know. You can go into stores, you know, and find an MDC record, you know. I've gone into commercial record stores and found millions of Dead Cop records, you know. So I think it does reach out to more people, you know. MDC has a lot to say.
Just in general, it's like a lot of different ages have reacted from like the few times that we played. You know, a lot of different kinds of people have reacted to it, and that's what goes on, I guess, when you start mixing politics and music. People aren't going to limit themselves to just a certain saying that, you know, I just like this musical style, because once it seems to say something that's pertinent, then you just start getting into a larger audience, you know, because when you're dealing with exclusively the punk rock audience, you're dealing with a group, you know, a varied group of people, but basically it's a fad and a style, you know, that people get into, and it's just a scene and a place to be at or whatever, and feel like you're a part of something, but not everyone in that group will extend themselves from that group and try to reach out to other members of society or whatever.
Okay, let's get some more songs and just a few messages here. You'll be playing up at the Anthrax Gallery September 14th, a Friday night. Other bands
playing this Friday in Baltimore.
Are we?
The guy is supposedly supposed to give us a call and give us the directions. Yeah. You know, but people seem to be pretty
like
flaky.
The people in Philly, we call them up to get directions to the gig a week before it, and they tell us, oh, well, the gig is canceled. I was going to call you, but I didn't.
Do you have any doubts about going on tour with the handling of this?
We want to get the record out first.
Yeah.
Sit on that for a little while and let that get out, you know.
Well, with any tour you plan, you got to be ready for this
way
sort of thing.
The things
that we've learned so far just playing in this area, you know. And
especially if you're dealing outside of like the musical, like with dealing with big promoters and stuff like that.
Right.
You
end up calling some jerk at his house and he's like on his head trip because he can, you know, get a hold of this other band and charge you a fee to get a hold of them so that you can have them come to your town and play or something. You know, it just becomes a really bad deal.
Okay.
Everybody wants to be a promoter.
Till times it comes to pay the people.
It's a harder part to deal with. I sometimes wouldn't want to mess with just a real organized promoter who had his stuff together all the time and would just give you a set amount of money and probably rip you off and use you to the max. You know, these people at least, they try
they're trying to get it together, and even though it's like unreliable because they're inconsistent and they're inexperienced, you know, to a certain extent is a lot better. If it comes together, it's a lot better of an atmosphere to play in, because it's done by fans and by people that really, you know, want to
hear you play. They're just not there to get your money, you know, and make money off of you. They actually want to hear you, your music and what you have to say.
All right, Anthrax, September 14th, Stark Raving Mad. If you want a copy of the cassette, it is available before the record. It's $2 a piece for the cassette. The address to write to is 234 East 7th Street, number 4FE, New York, New York, 10009. If everything goes okay, we're going to hear some more music from that tape, and then we'll move on to some other new stuff that's come in. I'd like to thank you guys for coming down.
It's a long way out of here.
Yeah, definitely from Brooklyn. I mean, who wants to come out to Stony Brook? But
really appreciate you.
Who wants to stay in Brooklyn?
Yeah, if that needle goes into the red area, that means that we're in danger.
That means the studio.
Oh, great.
You should know that. You worked in radio. I thought, until you knocked my tone arm off my record.
Subliminal Nightmare, Columbia, Missouri. If you're ever in Columbia, Missouri, look up KOPN. And try to get a hold of Causes of Tragedy. They're the psychic crunch thrash band out there.
Support the show.
Always support your shows. And in Columbia, Missouri, we found ourselves in a situation where, you know, we were being threatened to be thrown off the air and stuff. And, you know, you just got to be on your toes once in a while, because you never know. The bureaucratic elements are going to be there, and they're going to try to deal with you in one fashion or another. You just got to watch it. So make sure you support the show. Call up all the time and make requests. You know.
I mean, we're still looking for the fastest punk song you can think of. So, I think I think we've already heard six of the fastest ones that I've heard of right here. Stark Raving Mad, you're tuned to 90.1 FM. I'm Steve Kreitz. I'll be with you for another 55 minutes or so. At 11 o'clock, we have Maximum Rock and Roll. Let's end up with some more from Stark Raving Mad here at 90.1 FM.
I am Mr. Hardcore. It's a deal, it's a deal.